Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Oh, 5 a.m. run? Really? All right.
If running shoes could talk, they'd have a lot to say.
Puddle, puddle, puddle. Oh, why would you aim for it? Oh, a double knot. Someone's feeling fast today. Instead of a marathon, maybe a beer run next time.
If shoes could talk, they'd also tell you to shop Academy Sports and Outdoors for top running brands like Nike, Brooks, Asics, and Adidas. Academy. Fun can't lose.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. It's the David Knight Show.
As the clock strikes 13, it's Monday the 16th of February, year of our Lord 2026. Well, even though the Dow is over 50,000, people are still losing big jobs. Some are going to prison, except in the USA, where the cover-up and the protection continues. Now we have a new issue here. Is Ghislaine Maxwell even in jail after she made her video appearance to the House committee? Did she get a nose job at Club Fed? Obama says aliens are real. He's been told. Well, maybe they are more real than the person taking Ghislaine's place, but demonic just the same. And we see that the means of defense abroad have become weapons of tyranny at home. Palantir has been hacked, says Kim.com. And he says that Palantir is taking Epstein's place. And we have Trump criticized for perhaps the only good thing he's done. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Well, there was an interesting Valentine's story over the weekend. Regardless of what you think about E. Jean Carroll, you got to say that Trump is just stepping in it over and over again. Perhaps it was somebody in his organization that did this. And remember, he had a $5 million civil case that he lost, finding him liable for sexually assaulting and then defaming her. And then he doubled down, and they more than doubled down. He got another $83 million put against him. Well, this is something that the Trump organization thought would be a good idea to send out on Valentine's Day. And I gotta say, even though I've not made any claims and never will about Trump sexually assaulting me, I thought this would be pretty creepy to receive unless you are deep inside the Trump cult. Look at this card that he sent out. Is everything okay? I sent you a love letter, but I haven't heard back. It's Valentine's Day. And then he put your name in there, E. Jean. I love you, and I was pretty sure you loved me back, he says. It is an open love letter to his supporters. Before you read my letter, do you still love me? Yeah. After all I've done for Jeffrey Epstein and the pedophiles, do you still love me? Have I lost your support? He's getting kind of insecure, I guess. But anyway, she received that. And so she thought it was particularly strange. She says, this is a real email. No, I did not sign up on this mailing list. And I got to say, even if you did, it's all about him, isn't it? I've never seen anything so crazy as the relentless self-aggrandizement and ego of Donald Trump. After being found to have sexually assaulted her, Trump was then ordered to pay an $83 million judgment, a judgment that his legal team has been desperately trying to overturn, and by submitting false information to the Supreme Court, says Raw Story. No fan of Donald Trump either. But again, you gotta question that as why they would even send that to their supporters. As I said, $50,000 Dow doesn't cut it for a lot of people. Pam Bondi thinks that that's just fine. We don't have to worry about the Epstein people because, hey, we're making lots of money. You know, the same ethics that the Epstein crowd had themselves. Who cares about these kids? We're using them for what we want, money, power, control, that type of thing. Well, Kathy Ruemmler, who was tied to the Obama administration and was also at Goldman Sachs, after her ties to Epstein have been disclosed in this latest file dump, evidently $50,000 Dow is not enough to get Goldman Sachs to ignore what's going on with Epstein. It is kind of interesting, isn't it, how Republicans and Trump and people in America really aren't paying the price, really, for the most part. We're seeing this happening in the UK. We're seeing it happen in EU, but there was a crude email exchange that evidently was the final straw. By the way, as one person pointed out, she's a criminal lawyer. Why didn't she look more at his recent conviction when she metaphorically got into bed with him? Well, it kind of reminds me of Better Call Saul, right? He says, you need a criminal lawyer. Not somebody that handles crimes, but somebody who maybe is a partner in them. Well, the Epstein files don't expose a sex trafficker, folks. They expose a global network of satanic people who rape and kill children for supernatural power. That's the headline from Brian Shalhavi and the opinion piece of another writer who writes on Substack, who calls himself Wise Wolf, but he's not Tony Arterburn. This is not Tony moonlighting here. Wise Wolf Gold. Tony's got more than enough to do to keep up with his hyperinflation in gold and silver. But everybody, every last one of them, writes Brian Shalhavi, is jamming this thing into a box marked sex trafficking because that's familiar and safe, and it implies that the system still works and the FBI is going to ride in on a white horse and fix it. Except criminals don't build temples. Criminals don't name bank accounts after Canaanite gods. Yeah, there's a interesting revelation, one of these things, where he had a bank account that was called Baal, B-A-A-L, B-A-A-L, which I've always pronounced as Baal. But anyway, that was explained away by the fact checkers as simply an OCR mistake. Is it? Because those same fact checkers went on to say, because there's this conspiracy theory that children were sacrificed to Baal and to Moloch. There's no conspiracy theory about that at all. It's documented evidence of the massive areas where they did the child sacrifice, the bones that are there, the Tophets that are there. And that is an archaeological fact. And yet, if they dismiss that as a conspiracy theory, I have to say, well, I wonder if they're right about the bank account either. I haven't seen the evidence myself. I'm just giving you both sides of it. Criminals want money, power. They steal, they lie, they kill for it, the way humans always have. But none of that requires a dedicated ritual infrastructure on a private island. What the Epstein files describe is something that uses crime the way that the church uses a collection plate. The crime funds the operation, but the operation is worship. You can ignore the temple. You can ignore the bank account literally named Baal. You can ignore the taxonomy of child destruction organized around, quote, unlocking supernatural abilities, as they put there. But you can ignore that every single one of these elements maps onto a system of religious practice documented in scripture, documented in archaeology, documented in the historical record for 3,000 years. You can claim that's a conspiracy theory. You can ignore all of it. However, I think Christians know better, should know better. Witchcraft in America means crystals. It means teenage girls on TikTok burning sage and reading tarot. It means Stevie Nicks and Harry Potter and a pentagram on a Hot Topic t-shirt. Nobody asked who benefits from making the real thing look like a joke. And that really is what that's about. And that is one of the key ways to cover up what you're doing, is to throw something out there to discredit it. You know, like nobody died type of thing. There is a demonic intelligence with a will and an appetite. And the transaction is simple. You feed it what it wants, and it gives you what you want. Power, wealth, protection, influence. The currency it accepts, the only currency it's ever accepted in any culture, any century, where this practice surfaced, is the suffering of children. The younger, the better. The more innocent, the better. It's not poetry. It is the terms of the deal. The Epstein files contain correspondence about a classic stage three, quote unquote. That's their term. A young girl who is in, quote, classic stage three, whose sexual abuse has caused her to develop, quote, special and supernatural abilities, unquote. Not a casual mention. It is a staging system, a clinical taxonomy, methodical framework for the progressive destruction of children built on the premise that shattering a child's mind opens access to something beyond the material world. You know, where have we seen this before? Anybody that's paid any attention, I kind of think, thank you for the tip. He says, what do you think of doing a daily Mark Levin impersonation? This is crazy. Stop talking about Epstein. We got to get back to something important here.
Like, you know, how you can die for Israel.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Well, the bottom line is if you go back and you look at it, it's not just the people who themselves take their satanic stuff very seriously. It's also the CIA. Look at MK Ultra and the Monarch program and things like that, how they worked on kids for this kind of stuff. The overlap to the intelligence agencies, folks, is very, very telling. They operate in the dark, in secrecy. And we have seen elements of what they do. And I'm talking about even with the NSA. Remember, Colonel Michael Aquino of the NSA, who went on Oprah and talked about how he'd set up this satanic religion, the Temple of Set. And he came on and looked like Eddie Munster with his bangs and all this other kind of stuff. But he was protected by the intelligence community, specifically the NSA, when he was credibly accused of satanic child ritual abuse at the Presidio in California. And it was the grandson of a guy who was the chaplain there, And he said, there goes Michael. He said, how do you know that guy? Because he knew who he was. And he goes, been to his house. He's got a room that is all black. And so the chaplain went to the police, and they went there, and he did have a room that was all black. And then they transferred him out of the jurisdiction in California so that nothing could happen to him, just like they did these ICE people in Minneapolis. It's not sex trafficking. That is the thing described in Exodus, Deuteronomy, Leviticus, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Psalms, translated into sorcery in your English Bible, sanded down by centuries of church politics until it sounds like a fairy tale instead of a federal crime in progress. Archaeologists have pulled thousands of urns from Tophets at Carthage. Each urn holds the cremated bones of a child sacrificed to Baal. Cataloged. The Hebrew word Toph means drum. Well, why would they use that for these burial places? Because the children would scream as they were burning them alive on this altar. And so they would beat the drums very, very loudly to try to drown out the screaming. The Israelite prophets weren't screaming about Baal worship because it was exotic. They were screaming because it had eaten its way into the palace. Into the upper levels. You had even King Solomon involved in that. Kings, judges, priests of God's own nation had started buying Baal's deal because Baal's deal was simpler. You hand over a child and you get what you want. No commandments, no moral law, no accountability, just commerce. This is a God that you can do business with. The art of the deal, right? With Satan. That religion never stopped. The entities on the other end of the deal didn't die when Carthage burned or when Rome baptized itself or when cathedrals went up across Europe. Mystery cults carried it through Greece and Rome. Gnostic sects smuggled it into the Christian era. Hermetic lodges kept it alive through the Renaissance under enough layers of symbolism to survive the Inquisition. Freemasonry built its pillars, the same twin pillars, into the architecture of Western government. And when the CIA started researching trauma-based mind control and calling it MKUltra, they weren't inventing anything. They were translating a 3,000-year-old liturgy into the language of psychiatry. And folks, you can see that in what Epstein is doing. And why would we be surprised? Because of his involvement with the CIA and Mossad. Of course, that is what they're doing. Where children are destroyed, where they name their bank accounts after the same God that those kids in Carthage were burned for. It's not an aberration. It's a franchise operation. That's exactly what this is. So this guy who writes this, his name is Wise Wolf. He goes, that's a Substack. He says, I spent years working in finance for billionaires. The one thing these people never do is waste capital. Every dollar deployed, every risk assumed, gets measured against expected returns with the kind of precision that would make a NASA engineer nervous. These are the most efficient resource allocators the human race has ever produced. These same people spent billions building and maintaining a global network of ritual child abuse with dedicated architectural infrastructure and multi-generational backing from the intelligence agencies of multiple nations. And they have done it for decades. They didn't build temples for fun. They didn't classify stages of child trauma for an intellectual hobby. They didn't name bank accounts after Baal as a gag. That's right. This doesn't hinge on whether or not that was a correct name or not. We have seen all this activity from the CIA, from the NSA, from the intelligence communities. And so the system is a religion, and the religion is the system. You see how that operates? It doesn't belong to either party, and that's the whole trick. Clinton flew on the plane, Trump was in the emails, and of course he was in the beauty pageants, the teen beauty pageants, with Jeffrey Epstein as well. The Bushes are in the files, the Gates are in the files, intelligence connections span every administration since the Cold War. If your first instinct is to sort these names into my team and their team, you're doing the religion's work for it. You're fighting with the other half of the country about which puppet is dirtier instead of looking up at the hand that is controlling both of them. Red versus blue is not politics. It's a containment system. Create two teams and fund them both. That's what I said for the longest time. It's like professional wrestling, or it's like, who owns the NFL, right? You got these different teams that are fighting each other, and yet, you know, it all converges up at the top. You see, trust the plan really should be read as trust, colon, the plan. That was the plan, to get you to trust them. And trust them in the sense of the trust which Felix Dzerzhinsky ran at the beginning of the Soviet Union. It was a trap. If the ruling class is a priesthood, the policies aren't policies, they're rituals. The wars aren't wars, they're offerings. The government, the governance isn't governance, it is liturgy. And you are not a citizen. You're an unwilling congregant in a church that you never joined. I think that is very true here. These people are not pretending they believe in the entities that they serve. They demonstrate that belief the way that belief has always been demonstrated, through sacrifice, through infrastructure, through discipline, through the willingness to do things so terrible that people can't metabolize the information even when the federal government hands it to them in a PDF. They look at you and they see a person who won't fight, who calls evidence a conspiracy theory, who would rather believe that the world is run by flawed but rational people, rather than face the possibility that it is run by sorcerers who rape and kill children as an act of worship. Who will end this? Feel something cold move through their chest and close the tab. Every time a decent person looks away because it's too dark, every time a believer shrugs and says, God's in control, like that's a reason to sit down instead of a reason to stand up, every time a skeptic refuses to consider this occult dimension because it offends a materialistic worldview that the perpetrators themselves openly reject, the priests of this religion take it as proof that their God is stronger than yours, that their faith produces results and yours produces excuses. The darkness is winning because the light won't show up. The only thing that proves them wrong is when people like you and me finally do something about it. That is 100% right. Truly is, he hit the nail on the head. Christians shouldn't be surprised at all of this. As I said, this is the, as a matter of fact, here's another one from the Epoch Times by Patrick Keeney, basically saying the same thing. This guy was put up by Brian Shalhavi, who goes, has a Substack that is Wise Wolf. He said it. This guy is saying it. Last week, I talked about J.D. Hall saying it. The answer, when you look at all this stuff, Christians shouldn't be surprised by this. Our response should be, of course, that's what's happening. If you believe the Bible, of course, that's what's happening. And so the unsettling truths the Epstein files reveal about power and privilege is the one coming from the Epoch Times. Again, third article along these lines in just the last couple of days. Some people are getting it. I hope you get it. To focus exclusively on the sexual scandal is to miss the deeper, more unsettling lesson that this all reveals. What the Epstein files expose above all is the social and moral estrangement of American elites from the people that they claim to govern. Epstein was a node within a closed world of wealth, influence, and immunity.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself. And change literally a child's life. Change the world and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
The scandal is not that powerful people behaved badly in private. History shows many such examples. But they did so with a confidence rooted in the belief that they were insulated from the consequences of their behavior. And Trump and Bondi and Cash Patel and Mike Johnson and the whole crew is showing that they were exactly right. They knew there would be no consequences for them. Why? Because this cabal that's running this stuff runs all the governments. They pick the politicians that go into place, so they know these people are going to protect them. That should be your takeaway from this system. You know, it's one thing to run for political office and try to get into the system as a third party or an independent. Then you realize just how closed that whole system is and how corrupt it is from a political standpoint, but this is much broader, much more important. It shows the spiritual dimensions of this corruption. And so they moved through a transnational elite culture that had largely severed itself from ordinary moral constraints, from any legal accountability, and from any civic obligation. They're guardians and protectors. Other people like Trump and Bondi and Cash Patel and Mike Johnson, they are the guardians of the pedophiles. That's their watch where this is happening. But it happens with both groups. In a 1994 book, The Revolt of the Elites, the author Lash argued that the modern American ruling class had stopped seeing themselves as stewards of a shared national project. Instead, they increasingly saw themselves as a mobile, globalized caste, educated in the same institutions and moving through the same cities, governed by the same tastes, and primarily accountable only to each other. Citizenship was seen as a minor inconvenience. And so, again, is this the not the attribute that we see of those that are in the Trump regime? Look at people like Stephen Miller, Kristi Noem, Pam Bondi. Are they only accountable to each other? Do they know that they can do whatever they wish without any consequences? The Epstein affair reads like a case study in that book's thesis, The Revolt of the Elites. So he says, in terms of Epstein, he functioned as a social broker among financiers, politicians, academics, royalty, and celebrities. Yet in private, they inhabited a world defined by indulgence, entitlement, and contempt for limits. Now, this guy doesn't see the true spiritual dimensions of this, but certainly you can see the political dimensions of it. The governing classes of advanced democracies increasingly inhabit a world defined by mobility, abstraction, and insulation from consequence. Their loyalties are professional rather than civic, global rather than national, managerial rather than moral, because they are a part of Satan's kingdom. They experience society less as a shared inheritance than as a set of problems to be administered at a distance. Those create policies affecting immigration, policing, education, public health, national security, rarely face the consequences themselves. They do not send their children to failing schools. They do not live in high-crime neighborhoods. They don't compete for scarce housing or navigate broken public institutions. Their lives are shielded by wealth, location, private services, and increasingly by the law itself. Now you look at the difference between, you had 40 some odd thousand people who had their information leaked by the IRS, by a contractor for the IRS that worked for Hamilton Booz. Trump was one of them. He sues for $10 billion, sues the IRS. which is underneath him, and the Department of Justice that would have to resist and fight that lawsuit is under him, so he just hands himself $10 billion for it. There are even billionaires, as a matter of fact, that was a big part of the reason for the leak. There are other billionaires, many of them who had net worth many times, 10 times or more than Donald Trump's, and yet they simply wanted to have a acknowledgement of this, and there was no monetary lawsuit there. Trump, as president, is not working to fix this. He's working to profit over this. This happened in his first administration, and now in his second administration, he's paying himself for what he was responsible for in the first administration. You want to talk about hypocrisy, impunity, no accountability. What enrages the public is not prurience, but recognition. The scandal resonates because it confirms a growing suspicion among ordinary people that there is one moral universe for the governing class and another one for everybody else. We get no-knock SWAT team raids where they throw flash grenades in, and many times against people they got the wrong house, or they throw the flash grenade in the crib of a baby. Nothing happens to them, but if they show up with a warrant and they search Trump's Mar-a-Lago, that's another multi-billion dollar lawsuit right there. So Lesch warned that the ruling class would eventually forfeit legitimacy, not because of ideology, but because of character. Trump is a character. Doesn't have any, but he is a character. Their authority rests on little more than coercion and spectacle. The Epstein file should therefore be read less as an aberration than as a symptom. The Epstein files reveal a governing class that has lost the habits of self-restraint that once justified its power and the sense of common fate that once bound leaders to citizens. The Epstein files are more accurately seen as a disclosure. We're not talking about disclosure with a capital D, which the UFO crowd has always been all about, and Obama has seized the headlines with that. Folks, that's just more distraction. You think Obama's on the other side of Trump? Well, there is internal competition with these people, but they answer to the same people. If the Epstein affair provokes lasting anger, it's because it crystallizes a truth that many citizens already sense, that the people shaping the future live in a world apart, governed by different rules or no rules at all, and increasingly incapable of moral seriousness. No society can long endure that division without consequences. As a matter of fact, you think that this all ended with Epstein, and do you understand that this, of course, is still going on? Kim.com put up a post. It was yesterday. And he said, Palantir was allegedly hacked. An AI agent was used to gain super user access. And here's what the hackers allegedly found. Peter Thiel and Alex Karp commit mass surveillance of world leaders and titans of industry on a massive scale. They have thousands of hours of transcribed and searchable conversations of Trump, J.D. Vance, Elon Musk, and others. They have backdoored devices, cars, and jets of world leaders. They've accumulated the biggest archive of blackmail material. Palantir is creating nuclear and bioweapon capabilities for Ukraine and is working closely with the CIA to defeat Russia. They believe they're 1 year away. They plan to achieve this by keeping Russia busy with meaningless peace negotiations. And you look at this and you say, well, how do they think that they're going to win this? Well, again, nuclear, biological, but also when you look at the asymmetric warfare of drones and drone swarms and things like that, that is an equalizer. Palantir is responsible for the majority of Palestinian deaths in Gaza as well. They have developed the AI targeting for Israel. And I got to say, with all the kids that have been killed, maybe they need to adjust their targeting algorithm, unless killing kids is the plan. You know, we've had situations, and of course, this is something I've mentioned many times. You look at World War II, once they got to the point where they could deliver bombs by air, Hitler decided that he could demoralize the enemy by bombing London. Instead, what that did was galvanize them, but that didn't change the calculation of governments since then. Governments continue to bomb civilian populations deliberately rather than trying to follow what we'd always consider to be the rules of a just war, which would mean that you try to minimize the war, that you only fight a war in defense of human life, not as aggression, and that the goal is to end that as soon as possible, to minimize or eliminate civilian casualties. The wars that we've had since then have all been targeting civilian populations, just like the Nazis did. And it has backfired on Israel as well. And so I don't know if that was deliberate or just bad software. Palantir is an arm of the CIA. Yes, we know that and have known that for a very long time. That was where their first contracts were. And that is really their bread and butter still. All the data from international clients is copied into the CIA spy cloud. Palantir has become the most dangerous company in the world. If you work there, you have the right to know that this is what Palantir AI is used for, perhaps without your knowledge. Palantir data that the hackers allegedly gathered will be given to Russia and or China. I was chosen, says Kim.com, as a trusted partner for this publication. I'm not involved in the Palantir hack, and I don't know the hackers, but I know what the hack has happened. And so, again, is that a surprise? Not really. People rarely mention that there is no oversight to Palantir, commented one person on that tweet from Kim.com. The committee that was created to oversee companies like Palantir was dissolved by Trump on the day that he took office. And again, do you think they really had any effective oversight before Trump? I don't. However, Trump is not taking any chances. And it shows us that he is escalating this to a new level, the same way that he did the deficit, the debt creation. The deficit was exploding under multiple presidencies, and nobody was doing anything about it. But when he got in, he set it on a completely new slope, a new rate of increase. And that's what we're seeing with the tyranny as well.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
And so Thomas Massie had this to say about what is going on with the importance of all this and how it is essentially a litmus test. Let me see if I can find that here.
The question a few years from now is, where were you on the Epstein issue? Just like before this Epstein thing, I think the question for me was, where were you during COVID?
Mm-hmm.
Were you in favor of the lockdowns and the mandates and the free money? Were you silent or were you opposed to these things? And the same thing goes on Epstein. If were you for releasing the files, or were you calling it a hoax, or were you just too chicken to come out and say anything? And I think, unfortunately, a lot of the politicians right now who are being considered the future of the GOP are either in the category of agreeing that it's a hoax or just keeping their mouth shut because they don't have the courage and the political will to do the right thing. And so I don't think you should trust those people later. And it's the same goes for the news sources and the influencers on the internet. If a year ago they were for releasing the files and now they don't even want to talk about it, that the files are released, then you know they're part of the problem. They're not going to be part of any solution going forward. If you can't take up for kids who are being sex trafficked, who will you take up for?
Yeah, and if you can't stand up when we've got churches shut down, people masked, businesses being destroyed, laying the foundation for people being injected with an experimental DNA-altering drug, coerced into doing that, if you can't do that, when are you going to stand up? That was the time to stand up. By the way, you know, when I saw this, I tweeted out, I said, you need to read Alex Karp's book that I talked about a few months ago. You know, he wrote a book called The Technological Republic. And I said, this is basically Mein Kampf for the technocrats. And it really is. It truly is. It's a really disgusting to see that a person who thinks like this has so much power. But then I guess the Christian response would be, of course he's got that kind of power because he thinks like that. And so I tweeted that out, and I went back later because there was a video clip that I'd seen. I forgot to download it, of Alan Dershowitz talking about how Epstein was not a pedophile. That's right. Alan Dershowitz said that, his defense attorney. Basically said, you know, he pleaded guilty to just one case, and that was sex with a girl who was 17 years and 10 months old. He's not a pedophile. Yeah, spoken like his defense attorney. And so I went back to look for that, and I go back to search for it, and I get the message from X, something went wrong. Retry. So I tried many times. I keep getting that. I tried searching for some other stuff. Everything that I did, it did that. Even when I went, then I closed that tab, started it up again, and it wouldn't even show me my feed. It would say something went wrong, retry. So I thought, well, is X down? So I tried getting on Grok, and I could get on Grok, and I said, Grok, is X down? No, it's not down. I said, well, here's what's happening. It says, well, that's about you personally. It could be something's happening with your browser or this or that, but we do have shadow restrictions on people, and sometimes that's just put on for a short period of time. So did I get a shadow restriction for talking about Palantir or Peter Thiel or any of this stuff? Stranger things have happened, quite frankly. But this is where the entire enterprise is headed, by the way. And what they're talking about in terms of the thing that Trump shut down on day one. Yeah, day one, he shuts down the Privacy and Civil Liberties Oversight Board, an independent agency to advise the executive branch on protecting privacy and civil liberty. Well, of course, Trump's not interested in protecting civil liberty or privacy. He's interested in attacking those things. So that's got to go. So his first day, he shuts that down. And what else did he do? Well, he has a press conference in the Oval Office with Larry Ellison of Oracle, and the CEO of SoftBank, a large bank out of Japan that likes to fund technological issues. And so they talk about their Stargate program, right? How they're going to combine AI with mRNA to have some kind of a custom weapon.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spend it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Each and every one of us. How about that? So there's currently no acting oversight committee at all for anything that Palantir does. And they are invading our privacy along with all the other institutions and mechanisms that Trump has set up. And then this also was revealed in the Epstein files that on the 13th anniversary of 9/11, there was an email for Jeffrey Epstein where they're talking about scheduling him with Bill Burns, director of the CIA. Very interesting. When you look at the schedule, this is evidently from his secretary, who says, you know, you need to figure out how you're going to schedule in Amy Cassell on Saturday in 2 days. You need to figure out how you're going to schedule her in. Here's what you've already committed to. Well, Amy Cassell is his interior designer. I guess she's the one who comes up with the massage rooms and the surveillance bedrooms and all the rest of this stuff. Anyway, you got to schedule her sometime on Saturday. And he already had scheduled from 2 to 4 p.m. Peter Thiel. And then from 3 to 4 p.m., Bill Burns, the director of the CIA, would come in and Peter Thiel would be in that meeting as well. So he's going to meet with Peter Thiel for 1 hour. Then he's going to have 1 hour with Peter Thiel and the CIA director, Bill Burns. And then Peter Thiel is going to leave, and then he'll have a final hour meeting with Bill Burns alone, the director of the CIA. What do you think about that? Do you see how Peter Thiel, CIA, the technocracy, Jeffrey Epstein, how these people are all joined at the hip? Folks, that is exactly what is happening. And so this also came out over the weekend. Steve Bannon courted Epstein in his efforts to, quote, take down Pope Francis. How's he going to try to take down Pope Francis? Anyway, he doesn't like Pope Francis because he says Pope Francis is against his nationalist agenda. And we all know that Francis is a Jesuit Marxist. Nevertheless, don't let this this smoke and mirrors from Steve Bannon hide the fact that he was working as Epstein's PR guy. His mission, as you see in other emails, is to rehabilitate Jeffrey Epstein's image. That was what Steve Bannon was doing. Why would anybody listen to him? Again, just listen to what Thomas Massey said. This is a litmus test, folks, for people that you listen to, for people that you get your news from, for politicians that you put your hope in. This is a litmus test. And by the way, no politician should be the essence of your hope. Our hope is in Christ. And yeah, it is all God's plan, but as that guy said, it's a reason not to sit down and shut up, but it's a reason to stand up and shout about this stuff. The released documents from the DOJ appear to show that Epstein had been helping Bannon to build his movement. And, of course, Bannon was helping Epstein to rehabilitate his image. And so when Bannon shares with Epstein an article about the Vatican condemning populist nationalism, Epstein quoted John Milton's Paradise Lost, where Satan has been cast out of heaven. And the quote that Epstein sent to Bannon Epstein said it's better to reign in hell than to serve in heaven. And of course, Satan is not reigning in hell, and neither is Epstein if he's even dead. But that was his whole take. So he can he can read the same books that we do, and he gets a completely different take out of it, doesn't he? Muzzled and muted, Epstein, Gates financed research portal to control scientific discourse. This is from Children's Health Defense. And what they saw was Bill Gates as the gateskeeper, right, for science and how they could use that to profit from it. It's the same thing that we saw in terms of cryptocurrency, for example, right? As the one person who went deep into the crypto stuff between Epstein and other people, he said, it's not about the code and whether or not the code is open source and trustworthy. It's not about that at all. It's about who controls access to this. Who gets to pick the winners and losers, like Coinbase, for example. If they pick your cryptocurrency, they can, now your cryptocurrency can be traded. If they don't recognize you, then that's one way of shutting down a particular cryptocurrency or elevating one. And that's exactly what they were doing with Bitcoin. So it's at this level. And this is the same type of thing that Epstein and Gates are conspiring to do in order to profit by manipulating, quote unquote, science, which, again, is, you know, making big money from it and turning it into a kind of perverse religion. So Gates provided $10 million in funding to ResearchGate in 2013. It's kind of funny. You know, we've had all these, we had Watergate, we have all these other gates that they always tack that on whenever it's a scandal. Bill Gates seems to be the essence of every kind of political and scientific scandal, doesn't he? I guess we could say it's the Gates Gate. That kind of is all inclusive of all these different scandals. But he had one called ResearchGate 2013. Should be scandalous. It was a Gates-led funding round that attracted $35 million in investments to ResearchGate that's going to be used to control what is deemed to be acceptable science and doing that in order to make money and have power. It's not heavy-handed censorship. It was subtle, invisible steering of ideas, trends, and truths. And that's exactly what they did with crypto. Subtle, invisible steering of particular crypto currencies. And Jablonowski of Children's Health Defense agreed. He said, algorithmic control is authoritarian control and largely without accountability. And he compared it to the pandemic-era big tech censorship. That's exactly what it was. He said, with a few tweaks to the algorithms, Facebook and Google were able to direct and control information that Americans consumed during the so-called pandemic. Google, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, from which Children's Health Defense was either banned or shadow banned. And yours truly as well. So the key architect of the disinformation dozen list has now been shown to be a part of the Epstein web and has now resigned. The 2021 publication of the Disinformation Dozen lists 12 leading online anti-vaxxers. 5 years later, the release of the Epstein files has led to the resignation of one of its architects, Morgan McSweeney. McSweeney was the chief of staff to UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer. He resigned Sunday. In 2018, he co-founded what later became known as the Center for Countering Digital Hate, which published the Disinformation Dozen list. And again, what does hate have to do with people who are opposed to vaccines? Nothing, except that it is their common approach to silence any critics. And again, this is why when we look at what Trump and ICE are doing in these various areas, how they attack people who are filming them, how they wear masks and all the rest of the stuff, that is, again, the sign of the heavy-handedness of authoritarianism, that they want to shut down any observation, any data about what they're doing, and control the narrative and propagandize you. And that's all you really need to see and then you understand what is happening with these people. McSweeney's resignation stemmed from his prior support for Pete Mandelson, the former UK ambassador to the U.S., who was implicated in the Epstein files, and showed that Mandelson had shared sensitive government information with Epstein that allowed Epstein to profit significantly, perhaps, or to pass it on to people who could profit significantly, tipping their hand as to what was going to happen, essentially insider trading.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Jeremy Raskin says the Department of Justice was spying on lawmakers who were reviewing the Epstein files. They set up a room for them to view it, put four terminals, that's it, just four terminals, for all the members of Congress to look at 3 million documents. And he said they were clearly monitoring and surveilling the computer searches that we were conducting, and it was all set up for that, for them to have very close control and surveillance over us. It's completely obvious to anybody who went over there, and so they were able to give Pam Bondi briefing materials based on what we'd been looking at. But in any event, he said, this isn't a game. It's not a hide-and-go-seek cat and mouse. We passed a federal law saying release all 6 million Epstein files. They said, we're going to release three. The other 3 million are duplicative. He says, well, if they're duplicative, release them. But we know they're not. Because in them are a lot of things that we're specifically looking for, like the trial prosecution memo for the federal case that never happened, where they laid out the entire case that's been ultra-redacted or withdrawn from public view. There were victim statements that were turned into legal memoranda, which the victims could not find because they're in that 3 million portion that has not been released. And so they just continue to lie about everything. It truly is amazing. As Thomas Massey said, he said, I've upset a lot of billionaires, and he says, I'm kind of concerned over, what may be happening. I'm not feeling suicidal. Let me see. This is, here we are.
It's that simple.
Why do you think he is working so hard not to get them released for so many months? What do you think the real reason is?
These files implicate billionaires and friends of him, of his, and of political donors that he's trying to protect. And Epstein also had close ties to our own intelligence agencies and Israel's intelligence agencies. That's why there's so much effort in trying to stop this. And I do believe they'll try to stop it somewhere else. And that's going to backfire on them, too.
Yeah, and of course, you might even have people who are reflexively pushing back against this because their connection to Israel, like Laura Loomer, who sends a little kid to do a man's job. Listen to this.
Congressman Massey, in the last week, you would have called on President Trump to apologize to Barack Obama, and you're standing here with Congressman Khanna at a press conference implying that the president is a pedophile protector. Are you hating on Trump to try out for CNN?
I didn't crack out. You're wearing off.
Oh, really? Congressman, you need to answer my question. Your lies, your insults are getting old. Answer my question.
You don't have anything, kid. As he says, your voice is cracking. Your puberty blockers are wearing off here.
Too scared to answer.
Yeah, right. Keep telling yourself that. Anyway, he says, I'm not suicidal, said Thomas Massey. I eat healthy food. The brakes on my car and truck are in good shape. I practice good trigger discipline. I never point a gun at anyone, including myself. There are no deep pools of water on my farm, and I'm a pretty good swimmer. So he knows that the knives are out there for him, and there's knives out there from people who really do kill people. Anyway, he said, I was told to ask when phase two is going to come out. And he said, so I asked Pam Bondi that in person very politely. And she said, there's nothing but child porn left. It's disgusting. Nobody would want to see it. And at that point, I realized that the Trump administration had undertaken a cover-up and had no intention of releasing those files. He said, if Watergate changed your perception of government, this should definitely do the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah, you can film this.
So here he is with an interview, and as he's doing the interview, he gets Trump tweeting at him.
Oh, Republican loser, sanctimonious rhino, Congressman Thomas Massey made a total fool of himself yesterday, fighting aimlessly against a hopeless agenda of hate and stupidity. As Moose clearly stated by his crashing job approval numbers in the great Commonwealth of Kentucky. Well, it's time to raise some more money, I guess. The president attacked me while we're doing this interview, which is kind of ironic. And what's he attacking me for? For trying to get justice for these victims. And frankly, he cannot deny being part of a cover-up at this point. I am the leading Republican. I'm sharing this credit with the Democrat, Ro Khanna, who's been with me as a co-lead all the way. But I am the Republican on this. This is what I'm known for, and this is why the president is attacking me. And frankly, his attorney general did a miserable job yesterday. She came with insults instead of answers to our questions.
Which we knew she was going to do. She has no intention of any answers. It's all a cover-up. It really is. And the Department of Justice is asking you, just trust us, after we've been caught in lie after lie after lie. Remember the failed photo op of MAGA influencers parading a binder filled with public information? Bondi publicly claimed that she had a list on her desk a year ago. The DOJ letter declaring the case closed, the pages remaining unseen? Trump calling the whole thing a Democrat hoax? All of these raise public uncertainty that the Trump regime is not being straight with the nation. Even Marjorie Taylor Greene has said publicly that Trump fought the hardest to stop the files from being released and called it the biggest political miscalculation of his career. Each move has been presented as transparency while functioning as delay. And the cumulative effect is an atmosphere where conspiracy theories don't just survive. They start to make sense. When the government doles out information in calculated increments while insisting the public should be satisfied, distrust is not a failure of the audience. It is the predictable consequence. Journalists and newsrooms have resisted reaching the cover-up conclusion. Calling something a cover-up implies intent. And intent is difficult to prove without internal documents that make motive explicit. Editors know the legal risks. They know how quickly a loaded word can damage their credibility if it outruns the evidence. The professional instinct is to wait for the email, the whistleblower, or the document that removes all doubt. But the only people who can prove there is, in fact, no cover-up are the very same people accused of running one. So again, at some point, it's just like an investigation. circumstantial evidence doesn't necessarily prove something, but when there is a preponderance of circumstantial evidence, that is considered to be proof. And that's what we look at when we look at these conspiracy theories. The broad outlines are not in dispute. Congress required disclosure. Full disclosure has not happened. The withheld material involves powerful people. Political leaders are signaling fatigue, even though the public record remains incomplete. In almost any other context, the alignment of secrecy and convenience would prompt sharper language, not softer phrasing. And I got to say, in their summary of this, and this is a Mediaite, in their summary of this, where is the victims, right? Was that sloppy work redacting the perps and yet releasing the names of the victims? Was that just sloppiness? Was that stupidity? Or was that deliberately done? Was that done as a not so veiled threat? I think that was motivation, quite frankly. The Epstein files stand apart in one crucial respect. There is no credible national security interest at stake. There's no reason to keep this stuff secret. These records relate to sex trafficking operation and to influential figures who orbited that. And so again, national security is always the rationale for these, the secrecy of these criminals at the CIA. Now Bondi says the DOJ is fully complied. If that's true, the department should welcome independent verification. If it's not true, only the department would know. The public is being asked to accept that because the government says so. There is no independent audit, no outside verification, no mechanism beyond trust. I just have to say that, you know, the reluctance of the mainstream media, I can't explain it away that way. I think they have other motives that are there. Because when you see the government putting out absurd lies that don't even come close to being plausible, and doing it repeatedly over and over again, why won't they connect the dots for people? Well, Nancy Mace says this is not going to go away and rejects Bondi's claim that all the Epstein files have been released. Thomas Massey said, I don't think Pam Bondi has confidence in Pam Bondi. Certainly she doesn't. I mean, that's why she behaves the way she does at these hearings. And then there's Howard Lutnick. There's a very good article about him on The New American. And
hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at Compassion.com. That's Compassion.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps, in line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
You know, what I find amazing is the callous way in which some of these people react. For example, on Fox, you had on the Fox 5, you had the Fox 5 hosts were giggling and joking about Jeffrey Epstein being a sex rabbi and a fixer. And when I saw that headline, I thought they said sex rabbit, I thought was what it was. That also would apply. But yeah, he's a sex rabbi. This is Greg Gutfeld and Jesse Waters making light of all this stuff. And remember, I pointed out last week that when Pam Bondi was at the hearing, where she was this screaming Karen at everybody, throwing insults at them and refusing to answer any questions, Fox News during those 3 hours mentioned Jeffrey Epstein 3 times. CNN mentioned Jeffrey Epstein during the 3 hours of the hearings about Jeffrey Epstein documents. CNN mentioned it 150 times, and I think it was MSNBC, 300 times. Fox News, 3 times. And then their response is to just kind of laugh it off. At first, you had Kennedy on Fox 5 said that Bondi came off as a shrieking Karen, whose performance made her seem, quote, very, very unpersuasive. Dana Perino agreed. Jesse Waters then began making jokes, which were amplified by Greg Gutfeld. Jesse Waters said, well, if you read the Epstein files, Wall Street Journal has done a great job at this. Epstein got his money from 2 Jewish billionaires, Lex Wexner and Leon Black, a little bit of money from the Jewish banking dynasty, the Rothschilds in Europe, Waters said. And it looks like he's mostly just a fixer, a guy who advises. He helps people with their problems. Sometimes those problems are, you need a girl? I guess the emphasis would be on girl, not on woman, right? And isn't it interesting how Jesse Waters tries to deflect away from Mossad? He'll talk about Jewish billionaires, and he will talk about the Rothschilds, but he won't talk about Mossad or the CIA. And then Kennedy quipped, you need some girls, or you need some penicillin. And then Greg Gutfeld said, well, he's a sex rabbit. He should perform at the halftime show next year. Yes, said Gutfeld, as he and Waters joked about it. Dana Perino said, well, that won't be happening, as Brian Kilmeade cracked something about being hanged from a noose. This is what you get from Fox News. Do you think you can trust them? We report, you decide. I think you need to decide to get some reporting elsewhere. Gutfeld said, there's no moral imperative behind this righteousness. It's only political. It's obviously just theater. In other words, there is no moral imperative about a sex trafficking, pedophile ring of blackmail being run by intelligence agencies. There's no moral imperative. Look at that. It's simply political theater. Simply a hoax, says Greg Gutfeld. You're disgusting. You are a hoax. You're a failed comedian. While your glib nonsense, just amazing. No moral imperative, right? Fox is pure political theater. And so then he goes on to defend Bondi. He says, I keep thinking, what would I do if I was there? He says, I'm just going to go, you're not real. I'm looking at Raskin. You're not real. You're a bot. You're no better than a bot. You're programmed by somebody else. I don't have to respect you, said Gutfeld. Again, what is he doing? He's feeding the left, right, red, blue nonsense. And he's backing this other nonsense and saying, there's no moral imperative to this. There's no righteousness to try to fix any of this stuff. Greg Gutfeld, Fox News. Jesse Waters, Fox News. So I guess the question is, who programs Gutfeld? He's a bot. Can you work out who is programming him? Is he for real? No, he's just a bot. He's a court jester for pedophiles. That's what Greg Gutfeld and Jesse Waters are. It's absolutely disgusting. And again, people like Megyn Kelly, and Alan Dershowitz, well, they're nearly legal age, so it doesn't count, right? Yeah, the U.S., a nation led by pedophiles who oppose justice. That's exactly what it is. And Brian Shalhavi's got a good term for it. I call a lot of these people. Their first thing is, you have Trump derangement syndrome, TDS, TDS. And I said, you have Trump delusion syndrome. I like what Brian Shalhavi put. He said they have Trump Stockholm syndrome. TSS. That's exactly what it is. Yeah. And a matter of fact, is Ghislaine Maxwell even in prison? This shows, it's not working there. Well, that one doesn't show up. Let me give you what High Impact Flicks did. This is, he talks about the strange change in appearance of Ghislaine Maxwell from the many, many pictures that we have of her. And then her appearance by teleprompter to the committee where she played the fifth.
There's some debate online on whether this is Ghislaine Maxwell. Or is this Ghislaine Maxwell? Or are they both?
Well, I don't know. Our clips seem to be failing here left and right. So if you can get that, let me know. I really would like to play that for people, what High Impact Flicks said. Both these Trump administration leaders seem to have clearly committed perjury, but they don't seem to care anymore because as long as Trump is in power, they know they'll never face justice. Even if they somehow face criminal charges or impeachment for their actions, they have a Trump pardon get out of jail free card in their pocket. Corporate media has moved on to other stories that they want to occupy the attention of the public, like the Nancy Guthrie story. The number one headline news on Google News now for over a week. So forget about the abduction and the rape of children. Well, let's take a look at this this kidnapping story. They sensationalized that. And now, if that's not going to work, we'll talk about Obama and UFO aliens. Corporate media will never report on certain topics related to Epstein, such as cannibalism and satanic ritual abuse. Of course, they won't. Jamie Raskin told Axios in an interview that when he searched Trump's name in the unredacted Epstein files the previous day, he said it came up more than 3 million times. Does that sound like an exaggeration? Okay. Well, he says the audience had sound on this. Let's pull this back up here. Here, this is from High Impact Flicks.
There's some debate online on whether this is Ghislaine Maxwell. Or is this Ghislaine Maxwell? Or are they both Ghislaine Maxwell? And in the spirit of investigative research, I decided, hey, you know what? Let's line up the photos. Let's take a close look at them. And let's try to be as objective as we can possibly be, trying to steer away from any kind of pitfalls of cognitive bias. So what I did was I put this photo in Photoshop along with two other known photos of Ghislaine Maxwell. The first thing I did is I put yellow dots where her pupils are, and then I went from the very top of the ear to the very top of the ear, which skirted right underneath her eyelids. And the reason I did this is I wanted to line up the pupils especially, but I tried to line up the pupils and the ears as well as I could. And when I got all three photos in place, there were two things that jumped off the screen right off the bat. See if it's as noticeable to you as it was to me as I show you an older picture of Ghislaine Maxwell before she went into prison. What's the first thing that jumps out at you and screams, hey, something ain't right here? I'll tell you what it was for me. Number one, it was the nose. Look how right here, right before she went to prison, she's got kind of a W-shaped nose. It kind of dips down. Right here, it's completely absent. You don't see that. So here's before, here's after. By the way, this right here was taken from the February 9th deposition. This is February 9th, 2026, just a couple days ago, where she multiple times invoked her Fifth Amendment right to be silent and not incriminate herself. So here's the deposition photo, and here's a photo before she went to prison. You see that? Now look at the line. This line right here goes from ear top to ear top, but then right here it goes through the top of her ears. It looks like there's maybe a half to three quarters of an inch on the top. This right here is the very top. Now I understand there's lighting, there's camera angle. This camera angle right here could be down like this. This camera angle could be pointed up, which would kind of make things seem just a little bit uneven. But the next thing that jumped out at me was her eyelids. Apparently, there are a couple different kind of eyelids I'm learning, the monolid and the double lid. In this pre-prison photo, you can see that she has two monolids. This right here kind of is a double, but it goes mono right there, and this is totally mono. And yet, from the deposition photo, clearly two double lids. And I'm thinking, okay, what is going on here? So I grabbed a third photo from her younger days, and you can see that a young Ghislaine Maxwell had the same thing that this Ghislaine Maxwell had. See right here, partial, double, and then it goes on to mono. In her younger days, partial, double, goes on to mono. This right here is clearly mono with a partial double right there, which is consistent with this photo as well. Partial double goes on to mono. Partial double goes on to mono. But then when you look at the February 9th deposition photo, full double eyelids. But the most glaring thing is that nose. I mean, look at this right here. The eyes are pretty much lined up. That's another thing too. You can see this goes pupil to pupil. But then when you go to her pre-prison photo, it's kind of on the outside of her left eye, which is on our right side. So not even the eyes line up. But the nose, come on, give me a break. That is a completely different nose. Are they trying to sell us on the idea that this is a post-plastic surgery prison nose? Are they doing plastic surgery in prison? Or is this a completely different person altogether? Because that nose and that nose ain't looking alike. But this nose and the younger nose perfectly match. Look at the eyes. Look at the eyelids. Look at the nose. Look at the pupils. Now let's go straight from the youthful photo to the deposition photo. Look at that nose. Completely different. Look at the ears. Different. The eyelids. Different. Even the brow structure to me looks different, although the hair is kind of obscuring it. But there's another thing about the hair in the deposition photo. It's almost like they went out of their way to maintain that exact hairstyle you see in other Ghislaine Maxwell photos. Look at this comparison with this to the youth photo and with the older version of Ghislaine Maxwell. It really just seems like they got a hairdresser on the scene, maybe employed a little wig action to make it look as much like a Ghislaine Maxwell hairdo as they possibly can get. And they forgot the prosthetic nose. In my view, the placement of the ears, not so much the shape of the ears, is in question. The nose is completely different. The eyelids are completely different. And there's something a little off about the pupils, the lineup of the pupils and the eyebrows. What do you guys think? Is this Ghislaine Maxwell the same as this Ghislaine Maxwell? Or this Ghislaine Maxwell? Leave your thoughts for the world and the Global Thought Police in the comments section below. And if you like these videos, make sure you like it and share it with everybody you know. I'll see you in the next one.
Well, again, a great job by High Impact Flicks laying that out. That, and he, as he shows, the shape of the eyes, the height of the ears, and you know the pictures he's got of Ghislaine Maxwell before, she's got some heavy earrings. That's not going to change the height of your ears. As a matter of fact, they were higher with the heavy earrings hanging down from them. But you don't alter the height of your ears relative to the center of your eyes like that. And, of course, the shape of the eyes. But especially the shape of the nose. This is more than suspicious. And wasn't it interesting how long they waited to arrest her and how she appeared in public and made a point of sitting there having her picture taken, holding a book about the death of spies? Clearly a message was being sent. And how did she get to that club fed?
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself. And change literally a child's life. Change the world. And you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Well, it was Trump's personal attorney, Todd Blanche, who became the deputy attorney general. He's the one who interviewed her for a very long time, got her to Club Fed, essentially. And, of course, Pam Bondi knows nothing at all about it. She doesn't know. She doesn't want to ask Todd Blanche about that, anything. Going to completely ignore that. How dare you ask me a question? Do you realize what the Dow is? And so, along with all that, we have more information coming out about Howard Lutnick on this excellent article from The New American. And he said when he, first of all, if you remember, he said after he moved in next to him, he said, we went over for lunch one day and he had this massage table and he says, I get daily massages, and leans forward and goes, the right kind, you know? And he said, we thought that was really creepy and suggestive. And so we just decided, my wife and I, we would never talk to him again. And yet what we find out from these documents here, that there's a message there from Epstein's assistant saying, Howard Lutnick returned your call and put him on the call list for tomorrow, said Epstein. A year later, he's planning a trip to Little St. James. And Lutnick's wife said, we're looking forward to visiting you. We'll be coming from Keneal Bay in the morning. We would love to join you for lunch. Please advise on timing and exactly where our boat should go. Later that same day, Howard Lutnick emailed Epstein directly and said, hi, Jeff. Oh, they're in pretty good terms here, right? We are landing in St. Thomas early Saturday to Sunday evening for dinner. Sound good? And so what they did was they worked on a business deal. And remember when he was called out for perjury, he said, had testified, yeah, we never saw him except for that one time. And then they saw these documents and they said, well, you said that under oath. So basically you have committed perjury. And he goes, well, you know, we were just there. I went with my kids, took my kids and my nanny. And honestly, I can't remember why we even went. Well, the documents reveal that 6 days after Lutnick visited Epstein Island on December 8th, 2012, he and Epstein both signed to acquire stakes in a now closed advertising tech company, AdFin Solutions. So they put together a business deal, and he doesn't remember that at all. It's reasonable to believe that Epstein and Lutnick discussed this deal on the island, contradicting Lutnick's podcast proclamation to never have been in a room with Epstein for social networking, for business, or for philanthropy, and also contradicting what he just recently said under oath, I have no idea why I was even there. He has committed perjury multiple times, but of course, nothing's going to happen to him because he's part of the elite, part of the Trump regime. And so he's been at Cantor Fitzgerald for 3 decades. He was there during the 9/11 thing, except his whole crew died, including his brother. But fortunately, that day, he was taking his kid to kindergarten. Uh-huh. Yeah. Lucky Lutnick. So also in 2017, Epstein was asked for a donation by organizers of a Wall Street Journal that was dinner that was being hosted in honor of Lucky Lutnick. Epstein pledged $50,000 to the function. He said, $50,000 from me. I hope PR relations are okay, expressing concern over how the contribution might appear to the public. Well, I guess you'd have to ask Steve Bannon how he could help him with that, right? So in 2016, during the presidential election, Lutnick personally emailed Epstein asking him to support Hillary Clinton. He said, I'd like to invite you to attend a very intimate fundraising event with Hillary Clinton from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. A separate email contained a flyer that Lutnick sent to Epstein promoting Hillary's campaign stop at Cantor Fitzgerald, his business. Folks, this is the Uniparty. They're all corrupt. And, of course, as Thomas Massie said, he should resign. House Speaker Mike Johnson said, "Of course not. That's absurd. I know Howard as an individual, and I trust his word on this, because he's just as corrupt as Howard Lutnick." Well, we're going to take a quick break. We can get this to work, and we will be right back. Stay with us.
Listening to the David Knight Show.
APS Radio delivers multiple channels of music right to your mobile device. Get the APS Radio app today and listen wherever you go.
Well, I said at the beginning of the program, Trump is taking heat for something that I think actually was the right policy. Surprise, surprise. I got to defend him when he does the right thing, and this is the right policy. You got a hit piece from the Daily Mail. They're very concerned about it. As a matter of fact, the person they're quoting from is Andy Beshear, Kentucky's Democrat governor, who's trying to lay a foundation for running for president. So he's doing the same thing that Gavin Newsom is doing in California. There's fury at Trump's policies that force a giant car factory to shut. When I first looked at this, I thought, is this about the tariffs? No, it's not about the tariffs. Instead, this is about the Ford battery plant. In Kentucky, they spent nearly $6 billion in a joint venture with a company out of South Korea, had 1,600 workers. They are now out of work. And you see, it's all Trump's fault because the federal government stopped subsidizing the purchase of electric vehicles, according to the Daily Mail and according to Andy Beshear, the governor of Kentucky. What an absurdity. First of all, do you have to subsidize something that everybody wants? No. When you look at the most popular vehicle, bar none, in America, the Ford F-150 pickup truck, the most popular. When they did an electric version of it, they couldn't sell it. And it's a good thing they couldn't sell it because they were still losing $20,000 per truck that they sold. This was a decision, and what this shows is that when you violate the Constitution, when you try to pick and choose winners, when you unconstitutionally subsidize certain countries and certain activities and punish others, as long as we've got even a trace left of a free market where consumers have a say-so, it's going to shut that down. And that's precisely what happened here. People didn't want it. They didn't want it because of range issues, charging issues, and the costs associated with these. Even when Ford was losing $20,000 per vehicle, the cost was still too high. And so the way Andy Beshear demagogues this, and he's not just a Democrat, he's a demagogue. He said there's 1,600 Kentuckians that lost their jobs solely because of Trump eliminating the credits that had people interested and excited to buy EVs. They were not interested. They were not excited. And again, Ford was losing $20,000 on each one of them. He says, I bet many, if not most of them, voted for him. And he basically fired them. What they did was they stopped subsidizing a dead horse. That's really what happened with this stuff. The feds just keep pouring money into this stuff, even though nobody wants to buy it. That's the insanity. The subsidies were unconstitutional in the first place, a misallocation of resources, had nothing to do with the free market. It was all about central planning and prohibition. And as long as we've got a little bit of that left, that's going to essentially trump their subsidies that are there. He said, and so then Daily Mail goes to some of the workers, some of the 1,600 workers. They found one guy who said, I've been homeless for years. This was supposed to be the grounding moment, said Derek Daugherty, 28, who had just signed a lease near the site where he learned that when he learned that he'd be laid off. But I got to say, why should other people have to pay taxes or, and of course, taxes don't even cover what the federal government spends. Why should the rest of us have to go deeper and deeper into federal government debt in order to subsidize what nobody but Democrats like Andy Beshear demand that we drive? Remember the way the government always operates. It's always either bribery or blackmail. And they use their fiat currency to do both of these. The collapse exposes a contradiction in Trump's America First agenda, says the Daily Mail. No, this is not a contradiction in this. I'll tell you where the contradiction comes in, and it's Howard Lutnick, as Breitbart was trying to cheer him on after his perjury. They had a one-on-one exclusive interview with him, and he was talking about how manufacturing was coming back, but it was going to be automated. In other words, you're not going to get any jobs making stuff in Howard Lutnick's economy. All the money is going to go to people like him. And I said this going back to Trump's first tax cut. I said, this is not about reshoring manufacturing. They're not going to do that until they can automate it completely.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
They don't want American workers. They want robots, or they want H-1B visa people to come in, or they want cheap foreign labor to come over the border. Critics say his rollback of EV incentives and environmental rules slowed demand just as billions were being poured into new American battery plants. Well, too bad for Ford and GM. The problem is that Ford is going to be repurposing this battery plant to make these giant battery energy storage systems, sites, I think, the BESS. These are things that are going to burn down our communities if we're not careful with it. By the way, when you look at the market for EVs, there was an excellent article at What's Up With That. They get it, even if Andy Beshear and Daily Mail are lying to you. They point out that Super Bowl had not a single EV in any of the ads, and that tells you everything about what a failure this is. For the first time, they said, in years, there was no Super Bowl advertisement featuring an EV in a starring role. No celebrity endorsements, no sweeping promises about the future of driving. No multi-million dollar attempts to convince Americans that electric cars are inevitable. The only trace of an EV during the entire broadcast of the Super Bowl was a split-second glimpse of Volkswagen's electric van, which is struggling with low sales, recalls, and reportedly will not receive a 2026 version. They're going to kill it. The brief cameo stood in sharp contrast to previous Super Bowls when EVs were front and center. For several years, automakers used the biggest advertising stage in America to promote electrification, leaning heavily on celebrity appearances with high production storytelling. The message they pushed was that electric vehicles not only the future, but they were already mainstream. Now, this year, we get the reality. Ford has lost nearly $20 billion on its EV business. Isn't that amazing? GM has reported losses of around $6 billion. When the EV divisions are bleeding cash, spending millions on Super Bowl commercials becomes increasingly difficult to justify. Advertising budgets shrink when the product being promoted isn't delivering returns. Do you think that Andy Beshear, the Democrat governor of Kentucky, knows the first thing about anything that's real? Of course not. How in the world could they do an entire article about this in the Daily Mail? Well, of course, in the Daily Mail is in the UK, and the UK doesn't care about reality and how it conflicts with the Green Deal at all. They're going to push that regardless. EV advocates argue that the slowdown is a result of fading federal subsidies rather than weak consumer demand. Come on, let's get real. You don't need subsidies if you've got consumer demand. They had the subsidies there because there wasn't ever any consumer demand. They were beating and subsidizing a dead horse. So these losses, extraordinary losses, $20 billion for Ford, $6 billion loss for GM, come after years of extraordinary policy support and cultural promotion. If billions in taxpayer subsidies and relentless marketing produce only single-digit adoption, it's clear that we got a lemon on our hands. Higher purchase prices, limiting charging infrastructure, range concerns, cold weather performance, all these are obstacles that glossy commercials cannot erase. There are everyday considerations for families, commuters, and rural drivers, who are the people that automakers once hoped to reach through Super Bowl ads. Now they've got just a single customer. And the fact that Ford has now pivoted to these battery energy storage systems tells you that their only customer is now really just the federal government, right? The federal government is telling them what products to build in terms of automobiles and things like that. So they do it, but then they can't sell those to the consumers because they're following the government's directives and not the consumer's wishes. So the logical thing for them to do is just to go make what they can sell directly to the federal government. And that's what Ford is doing. The message wasn't delivered by commercial. It was delivered by the absence of a commercial. The free market remains undefeated. Can't say that much about the automobile companies that are circling the drain here and in Germany and elsewhere. And then when we look at all of this, it really is about prohibition, government micromanagement, government deciding what you can and cannot buy, what you must buy. So in Australia, they have put taxes on cigarettes to the point where they're up to now $40 a pack. And this has created a thriving black market. Isn't it interesting that when we look at the war on drugs, the metric that they use for success is interdicting drugs and destroying them and driving the price up. That's not a measure of success. That just shows what happens in a black market of prohibition. People are still going to get it, and there will be ways that they get around it. We see this happening in New York City, as a matter of fact. That was one of the famous excessive use of police forces, killing a guy who was selling what they call Lucy's on the sidewalk, getting a pack of cigarettes and selling them individually to avoid the taxes that are there. Just selling loose cigarettes to people instead of a pack at a time. And the police wound up attacking and killing that guy for that. Tax hikes made cigarettes in Australia the most expensive in the world. and it fueled a multi-billion dollar criminal enterprise in bootleg tobacco. You can bootleg anything if they have prohibition, whether it's alcohol, tobacco, every kind of drug. And so in this story from the New York Times, they began, they like to always start with a first-person story. So they talk about a retired math teacher going into an underground parking lot, looking for her dealer with cash in hand, and see a car at the other end of the garage, flashing the headlights, and she goes over and does a transaction to get a carton of cigarettes on the black market, about $40, nearly double what it costs in New York City. Isn't it amazing? I don't know how long it takes for somebody to go through a pack of cigarettes, but $20 a pack is pretty expensive. In Australia, they've had 8 tax hikes in 10 years. The high prices have created a thriving black market, now estimated to be a multi-billion dollar industry that accounts for about half of all the tobacco sales in the country. Meanwhile, as we look at all this, as I mentioned before, Barack Obama saying that aliens are quote-unquote real. What does he mean by that? He says, I haven't seen them. He's been told that they're real then by somebody, right? They're real, but I haven't seen them. He doesn't offer any other details about that. Are they occult? Are they physical? Who told him? You know, was it the CIA? Was this something he picked up on social media? Did he believe this without any evidence because he says he hasn't seen it? Is he a conspiracy theorist? Or is he just trying to distract us from the Epstein stuff? Again, you could say that he wants to see Trump twist in the wind, but there's a lot of Democrats that are involved in that as well. And so he says, they're not being kept in Area 51. There's no underground facility unless there's this enormous conspiracy and they hid it from the President of the United States, said Obama. But you can trust him to tell you that they're real. Well, frankly, I do think that they're real, not in the sense that these people think they are. He says, when it comes to aliens, there's some things that I just can't tell you on air, he teased in an interview in 2021. I guess, why not? Why can't he tell us that, right? If they're real. Are they afraid that the aliens are going to find out what we know about the aliens? Is that the justification for classifying this stuff? Anyway, what I thought was interesting was that Fox gives this more coverage than they did the Bondi hearings. A lot more coverage. They're all about Obama and UFOs.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps, in line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
Meanwhile, you see Trump's relentless self-promotion, an American cult of personality, says the New York Times. They finally realized that, did they? I've been talking about this for how many years? A self-aggrandizement unlike any of his predecessors, fostering a mythologized superhuman persona and making himself the inescapable force at home. And so they show this 15-foot bronze statue of Trump that has been commissioned by these crypto guys who want to curry favor with him. Interesting thing is the guy who's put this together said they haven't paid him. Maybe it's because they're waiting for Bitcoin to go up or something. But I've said for the longest time, Trump doesn't do geopolitics. He does ego politics. And he doesn't do economics either. He does egonomics. It's all about the ego. And these people know exactly how they can get to him. And as they point out in this New York Times article, when you look at the monkey video of Barack and Michelle Obama, they said that was a clip from video that put Trump in as king of the jungle from The Lion King. And I said, yeah, the problem is that they're just going to spell it L-Y-I-N, The Lion King. He regularly depicts himself as heroic, almost godlike fashion, as a monarch, as Superman, as a Jedi Knight, as a military hero, even as the Pope in a white cassock. What he's doing in his second term as president comes closer to building a cult of personality, the likes of which has never been seen in American history, but which we see in places that are totalitarian and authoritarian, places like South Korea. Trump recently shared a portrayal of Barack and Michelle Obama as apes, but of course, again, that was the Lion King stuff. But the picture that they put up of the Kennedy Center is really pretty telling. You have the Kennedy Center there, and it has inscribed on the wall the John F. Kennedy Memorial Center for the Performing Arts. And then what he did was he added a line above it that said the Donald J. Trump and John F. Kennedy Memorial. So he puts the Donald J. Trump and he puts that above the name of the institution there, which by law was supposed to only be named for JFK. So now they're going to tear it down. Rick Grenell, who was the LGBT leader for the Trump campaign when they were doing rainbow merchandise and everything in 2020, and you had all these people like Robert Jeffries and Paula White who were telling everybody, oh, yeah, he's our Christian savior and so forth. They had Rick Grenell there that was pushing all the LGBT stuff. And so they just ignored all of that. And yet this guy was rewarded with being put in intelligence. And this time, though, he hasn't been rewarded quite so much. He got into a fight, evidently, with Susie Wiles. That's the rumor. And he got exiled to the Kennedy Center because I guess, you know, they're going to be doing a lot of Broadway songs. So you got to get the homosexual guy there. But, and I say that as a stereotype. I like Broadway tunes and I'm not anywhere close to being homosexual. But, they put him there and now he's going to wind up overseeing the construction. He's doing a construction job instead of intelligence. So again, this is, this 15-foot tall gold covered bronze statue of Trump. It's going to be called the Don Colossus. And it is $300,000 that is going to be spent by crypto bros in order to influence him and flatter his ego, because it's all about egonomics. And Bill Maher is talking about how Trump is yelling at him, and he's yelling at Thomas Massie. It's like, what is it with this guy? Does he really care or know about where the country is going? I don't think so. As a matter of fact, we know where we're going. We're going to Iran. We're going to bomb Iran, as you had John McCain sing. And we're going to do it for Israel. That's the real key. And I think it's one of the reasons why Bill Maher is getting texts from Trump. They kind of became friends there with that dinner. And yet Trump is now trolling him in public and in private because he's not switching over and following him. Like Mark Levin, it's like, or Ben Shapiro, these guys who absolutely hated Trump when he first appeared on the scene, when he was telling people the truth about the government, before they realized that he's going to do whatever they wanted. Hitting close to home, one more news item here that I think is pretty interesting. We talk about the abuse of law enforcement by the federal agents, by ICE and by Border Patrol. And yet here in Tennessee, they've had 41 DUI arrests by just one trooper, dismissed after most of the drivers were deemed to be sober. As a matter of fact, not even inflating the alcohol level, but no alcohol level. This kind of hits close to home. Since I hate these roadblocks where they test you for this stuff, since I don't drink at all. 41 DUI arrests made by a single Tennessee Highway Patrol trooper in Bedford County have been dismissed. 22 of those cases involving drivers who had no alcohol or drugs in their system or were within legal limits. The dismissed cases all involved arrests made by former trooper Asa Pearl between 2021 and 2024. One person among those arrested, despite having no substance in his system, said, "I was surprised when he started asking me to do a sobriety test. It was a wrongful arrest." But of course, he's not getting an apology, not any compensation from this. And the interesting thing about it is that the Tennessee Highway Patrol, which is where this is mainly happening, it's not local law enforcement. It's the state highway patrol that's doing this. And he's just the latest trooper that's been discovered doing multiple arrests of sober drivers, charging them with DUI. By far, the data shows that the Tennessee Highway Patrol has made the most sober DUI arrests in Tennessee. The head of the Tennessee Highway Patrol told WSMV4, that was doing the investigation, that he does not believe the drivers who had neither drugs nor alcohol in their system were sober. What does he mean by that? What is his definition of sober then, right? Let's just redefine the word. It's absolutely insane. What is his definition of sober? Again, one person pushing back against this says, this is a systematic issue. This could happen to your child. It could happen to your parent. It could happen to you. So, let's see how many of these things. In 8 cases, the drivers had neither drugs nor alcohol in their system. In another 14 cases, their blood level was within legal limits, and there were no drugs. The remaining 19 were dismissed or dropped for other reasons, including the officer not being available for court or showing up in court and unable to recall any details. Yeah, I bet he couldn't recall any details. Again, it looks like nothing is going to be done with the Highway Patrol here in Tennessee, since the leader thinks that people who don't have any alcohol are still not sober. I think this is a guy who is drunk with power, is what I think. Well, why are tariffs not producing high inflation? This is an op-ed piece from, this is from the Liberty Nation News. And I got to say, this is the tact coming from the Trump regime. And it's just not true. They are producing higher inflation. As a matter of fact, it's added about 1% to the inflation rate already. And as the two recent studies that came up with that, one of them by the American Enterprise Institute, hardly a Democrat opposition group, they pointed out that the main reason that this hasn't shown up is because you see businesses failing, or you see the long rollout and the pullback and so forth that was happening with this. Trump always chickening out. And so the tariffs were delayed, and the real issue with all this stuff isn't even the price to consumers. It's the cost in terms of destroying American businesses with the chaos and the uncertainty of a fickle president who is engaging in ego politics. That's reality. Well, we've got a comment here from DGA. Thank you for the tip. He said, "David, disgusted by Trump. I never thought I'd see the day where the Republicans would cover for pedos. And people better wake up. The Democrats are grandstanding. They have zero interest in releasing the files." I absolutely agree. I mean, look at the people that are in it. Larry Summers, who was Obama's economics guy, very, very heavy connections to Trump as well as the Clintons and all the rest of this stuff. It's a uniparty thing. And what we need to wake up to is the reality of corruption at the top. And that's what we need to stand up to. And we need to stand up to this left, right, red, blue nonsense that they've put on us. Stop behaving like this is some kind of a sporting event. It's not. It's not a sporting event. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Making sense common again.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
All right, welcome back. And again, from DG80 says, and thank you for the tip. He says, David, MAGA has no discernment when it comes to Trump. He's their moral compass. This administration not only covers for pedos, but they're all in on promoting abortions and the LGBT agenda. And we're going to talk about that here with the beauty contests that are coming up. When you look at over the weekend, we've had yet another beauty contest. This is Miss America, dethroning a winner for daring to say that a woman is a woman. You have to toe the line with these different organizations. And when I look at this, I told Karen, I said, yeah, I miss America. Not Miss America, but I miss the country America, where you had freedom of speech and where people knew what men and women were. This is Kaylee Bush, the 2024 Miss North Florida champion, stripped of her title, barred from competing in the Miss America Nationals, all because she wouldn't sign a revised contract that essentially erases the biological definition of womanhood to include men who have undergone surgeries. Well, we have seen all this before. And it is kind of interesting because this story that's on Zero Hedge is actually from Steve Watson, and he carefully and scrupulously avoids, even though he goes back and looks at the history of trannies and all this LGBT nonsense and these beauty contests, he carefully avoids mentioning any of Trump's connection with all this stuff. As a matter of fact, he said, it's part of a broader pattern where transgender individuals are infiltrating and dominating women's spaces, even beauty pageants. While he ignores Trump and especially Melania's involvement in all this stuff. She is a cause celeb for the LGBT. They have honored her in parties at Mar-a-Lago, given her awards, all the rest of this stuff. And Watson doesn't mention that Trump owned Miss Universe from 1996 to 2015. And he also owned Miss USA and Miss Teen USA. You know, the really young ones that are out there. And he pushed for inclusion of a tranny into his Miss Universe contest, Trump did, in 2012. Now, it didn't happen for other reasons, but he was very vocal about how he wanted this tranny guy in his Miss Universe contest. But Watson completely misses that. He says, back in 2023, the Miss Universe pageant made headlines when its new owner, a transgender guy, celebrated the event as being run by women, prompting widespread mockery for the obvious irony. Well, again, he bought it from Donald Trump, who wanted to put a man in the beauty contest. And so then, evidently, this guy, I don't know if he was the one who directly bought it from Trump. I mean, that Trump had it till 2015. Somebody else might have had it for 8 years. Or it might be just this tranny guy bought the beauty contest. and then said, well, it's being run by women. Miss Universe's shift under transgender ownership turned into what many called an international drag queen show. In 2018, Angela Ponce became the first trainee contestant in Miss Universe representing Spain. But again, Trump had pushed this 5 years earlier. And you look at what this other champion of the Christian nationalism, Michael Flynn, did. He pushed it at the Pentagon with Chris Beck, the Navy SEAL. By 2022, an individual known as Cataluna Enrique won Miss Nevada USA. And in 2023, another trainee took the Miss Netherlands crown. Well, when whatever happened with Alex Jones and Blair White? Did did Blair White win any beauty contests there? I think Alex thought he was pretty beautiful. Beauty pageants, once a platform for empowering young women, now risk becoming performative spectacles where biology takes a backseat to ideology. Steve, you've got Trump Stockholm Syndrome. You just can't see it, can you? It's a delusion. Well, while we're talking about beauty queens who got punished for telling people the truth, there has been a lot of press coverage over the weekend about Carrie Prejean Baller. Before she got married to a man named Baller, which is Carrie Prejean, she got booted out of a beauty contest because she was asked about same-sex mirage. And she said, marriage, I believe, is between a man and a woman. Well, you're not allowed to have religious liberty in this country. Trump put her on his religious liberty commission because she had been punished for exercising her religious liberty, I guess. Maybe that was why somebody picked her to be put on there. Anyway, they had a this religious liberty commission got together to talk about anti-Semitism. And she asked for a definition of anti-Semitism. How dare you do something like that? And so the guy who was the chair of Trump's Religious Liberty Commission, Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, and again, you should see the documentary by Mark Hall called Killing Ed, if you really want to get a handle on Dan Patrick and what he did to help the Fethullah Gulen people in terms of massive amounts of charter school money that they're getting out of Texas. But anyway, she was kicked out of the Religious Liberty Commission because she asked, what is anti-Semitism? How dare you ask that? And so Dan Patrick went to social media and said and attacked her. And some people have attacked her. Many people have defended her. Though Baller received overwhelming public support on social media for opposing Zionist attacks on free speech and the religious freedom of Christians, through the ever-expanding IHRA definition of quote-unquote anti-Semitism, Jewish Zionist activists demanded that she be kicked off of the commission. And Dan Patrick was more than happy to pander to that. As a matter of fact, Chris Minahan points out that Israel Hayom is owned by Israel First Zionist mega-donor Miriam Adelson and the Murdoch-owned Wall Street Journal have both published hit pieces attacking Carrie Prejean Baller for standing up for free speech and religious freedom at the White House Religious Liberty Commission. So he said, when you look at this, Patrick decided who he's going to side with. What are the odds that this is actually his decision alone to kick her out? Baller is refusing, however, to resign and says that Dan Patrick, even though he is the chair of the commission, doesn't have the authority to remove her, that she was put on the commission by Trump and not by him. She wrote in a statement, she said, I write in response to your public statement falsely claiming that you removed me from Trump's Religious Liberty Commission. This is Trump's Religious Liberty Commission, not yours. You did not appoint me. You lack the authority to remove me from it. This is a gross overstepping of your role and leads me to believe that you are acting in alliance with in alignment with a Zionist political framework that is hijacking the hearing rather than in defense of religious liberty. We serve as equals on this commission. Just as I cannot remove you, you cannot remove me. The commission was created by executive order. of Trump. Members were appointed by Trump to serve as his appointees. Nothing in the executive order grants you the power to remove presidential appointees. Unless and until I receive written notice from the president requesting my removal, I will continue to defend religious freedom for all religions on this commission. I recommend you reread the executive order issued by the president who appointed us. You're speaking without authority. Now, does Trump have authority? He rules by executive order. I don't know what authority Trump has for this stuff in the first place. But she thinks that Trump is for religious liberty. She said, I know that he cares deeply about religious freedom. What a joke. This is going back and forth. The story here is that the Zionists do not want to have anybody discussing Zionism or the political implications of this. And they want to silence not only free expression of religion and religious beliefs, but they want to silence speech when people criticize a foreign political party. And I said, this is not even about all of Israel. This is about the Netanyahu part of Israel that took a very long time to be able to get in charge again. It took three elections for them to be able to put together a coalition to rule. And so this is not even a majority position in the state of Israel. And yet we are not allowed to criticize the political party and the political leadership of a foreign government. Are you kidding me? This is what disgusts me so much from the political side of this. She said, I'm a Catholic and Catholics don't embrace Zionism, just so you know. So are all Catholics anti-Semites, according to you? She said, what I've heard today is that if you don't support Zionism.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
You are an anti-Semite. She suggested that Babylon Bee CEO Seth Dillon, that he should stop labeling Candace Owen, Tucker Carlson, everyone he disagrees with, he should stop labeling them as anti-Semites. You know, Babylon Bee has really lost it. They haven't had anything, I think, that is clever or insightful for a very long time. Must have lost the original crew that they had there, but they have also lost the plot when it comes to Christ as well. If they try and remove me, it'll prove that they don't really care about religious freedom, she said, before they tried to remove her. The commission, again, was discussing anti-Semitism, and so she asked them, essentially, for a definition of it. Is it anti-Semitic to criticize a political entity, she said. And so, J.D. Hall points out, he said, the commission that was made in May of 2025 with an executive order signed on the National Day of Prayer was part of a giant stack of red meat that Trump threw to his evangelical supporters. It was all virtue signaling, folks. Government doesn't have any role in any of this stuff, shouldn't have any role in any of this. And when you look at the sycophants and clowns that are on his commission, it is absolutely disgusting. So, but I do care about the fact that we have a foreign government that is using our politicians to attack the First Amendment, every aspect of it. You're going to shut down protests, you're going to shut down political speech, and you're going to shut down religious beliefs as well. As soon as you say that you disagree with their eschatology, you're labeled anti-Semitic. So, again, besides Dan Patrick, Ben Carson is also a co-chair, and Dr. Phil is on it. What is Dr. Phil about? I don't know why he would be on something that is religious. I don't know what he's ever spoken about in terms of his religious views. Had someone suggested it was a Christian obligation to bequeath modern Jews a land grant in Palestine or to serve as their national protectorate to one of the founding fathers, Jonathan Edwards or George Whitefield, they would have summoned an exorcist. The dispensational Zionism of modern mainstream American evangelicalism is so absolutely foreign to historic Christianity that it would be unrecognizable to most Americans throughout our history. John Winthrop, who preached the famous Shining City on a Hill sermon that was once required reading for American public school children, would have found Christian Zionism to be a perverse, bizarre notion. So he goes on to point out in this that pretty much every Christian confession of faith for centuries had flatly rejected what we see as the theological underpinnings of Christian Zionism. He said that would include the Belgic Confession, the Heidelberg Catechism, the Canons of Dort, the Westminster Confession of Faith, Westminster Larger Catechism, Westminster Shorter Catechism, the Second Helvetic Confession, the Scots Confession, the French Confession of Faith, and the 39 Articles. In other words, there's a long history of this not being part of Christian doctrine. Americans who hold to any of those confessions of faith would agree with Kerry Prejean Bowler. It is against our faith to support Zionism. And then he starts talking about the millions of people represented by the various denominations that reject this as well. The Presbyterian Church in America, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, the Associated Reformed Presbyterian Church, the Reformed Presbyterian Church of North America, the Christian Reformed Church in North America, United Reformed Churches in North America, the Protestant Reformed Churches in America, the Reformed Baptist Churches, the Evangelical Presbyterian Church, the Anglican Church in North America. He said you put all these together and then you add the Catholics who have always rejected it. That's about 85 million Americans who reject the premise of Christian Zionism, confessionally. And so he said, I'd like to ask Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick whether he knows who founded his church. He is a member of the Second Baptist Church of Houston, Texas, a typical Southern Baptist church, mega church. That was founded in 1844, long before the Oxford Zionists circulated the doctrines of Christian Zionism in the Scofield Bible. His denomination was founded by those who held to the abstract of principles, a strong affirmation of so-called replacement theology. See, here's the issue, folks. We don't need to have perfect theology to have a relationship with Christ, but it does impact our relationship if it isn't orthodox. And what I'm concerned about is how this has been abused. You look at the fruit of this. The fruit of it is tyranny, suppression, and it will be oppression. And we can already see that in Gaza. But if you point that out, they call you anti-Semitic. That's it for today. Thank you for joining us.
The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common.
That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Oh, 5 a.m. run? Really? All right.
If running shoes could talk, they'd have a lot to say.
Puddle, puddle, puddle! Oh, why would you aim for it? Oh, a double knot. Someone's feeling fast today. Instead of a marathon, maybe a beer run next time.
If shoes could talk, they'd also tell you to shop Academy Sports and Outdoors for top running brands like Nike, Brooks, Asics, and Adidas. Academy. Fun can't lose.